Returning to Tradition is a production of Weather Media. The views expressed in this podcast are those speaking the podcast alone and make every effort to present truthful and cynic. What we discuss the podcast not necessarily represent the views of the Diocese of Columbus and Protocol College Josephinum. Join today's show and please follow the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Returning to Tradition. I'm your host, Chris Dixon, joined
with... your co-host, Emma Singletary.
And today we are back on track, our regular schedule. Only three, like, kind of normal episodes left this season. And then kind of a fun one to close out the season, and then the final episode of the season. Yeah, only three more, like, actually about Catholicism. So,
yes, and we're all wildly, so, like, that's kind of wildly fascinated to see what Chris's other topics are. But, Chris, I love the subtle dig. My episodes were still part of the normal season. Crowd favorite.
I mean, it is my podcast. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily, like, statistically true. Like, is it really the crowd favorite? Let's see.
Do we need to do another poll, you know, of who's be really the better podcast?
Embarrassing
host?
if I pull the numbers up and Emma's episodes are performing better, but
dude. We might need to consider some new marketing then. I have some options for another co-host to replace you if the numbers, you know, are pointing to that being needed to happen.
But. They are. So the beginning of the season, those numbers are, like, higher than your numbers.
Wow.
Are a way to put it. But that's okay. You know what? It's great because our numbers aren't that high to begin with, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, thank you to our 10 loyal listeners. That's about our average this season, so, you know, we do this just for you. Anyways,
we do,
today's...
We do this so we continue to talk, Chris. This has nothing to do with whoever's listening to it. This is just you and me scheduling phone calls. That's literally all that it is.
Yeah, but we have a topic of conversation for our phone calls, which, you know, that's pretty cool. Not everybody does that. Anyways, well, also something that relates to Catholicism, which is weird. Normal people don't do that. Speaking of normal people probably don't go to the North American College to study. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about what it's like at the North American College. And fun fact, I haven't been there, but Emma has. So Emma, take it away.
All right. So the North American College is unfortunately on top of a giant hill, okay? It is like...
How many hills are there in Rome, Emma?
Isn't it one giant one, or is it a thousand? Because it feels like there's a thousand, but I feel like this is a trick question, and...
There are... Seven.
This is on one of the...
Somewhere in between.
One in a thousand.
You really nailed that question down.
There's so many. Like, Chris, it's going to be impossible to gain a freshman 15 over there because there's so many hills. But, so, I went to Rome in late September, early October, for a family friend's diaconite ordination at... St. Peter's. And so my experience with the NAC is a not pleasant one. Okay, me and the NAC have beef because this whole thing, you can tell that, like, the whole event was planned by men, which makes sense because it's like a diaconite ordination for a seminary. But, like, men.
Okay, time out. Before you continue, are you calling this diaconite like dynamite or like diaconate, like what it actually is?
Okay, shush. Because it's an explosion of the Holy Spirit. It was purposeful.
Sure it was.
The mass for this ordination is in St. Peter's, right? And then they plan, which, you know, is already a little difficult of them, the reception to be in the NAC. Okay, not only do they make it in the NAC, which is about a mile uphill for all the lovely mothers, sisters, friends, women...
It's like a five to ten minute walk. Who were wearing high heels
for this event, okay? They did not tell anyone.
In a completely different country.
And it was cobblestone roads up this entire thing. There are no, like, stairs. It's just directly horizontal. Supposedly there was a, like, back way, but Chris told us, like, Chris, the brother of the guy who got ordained, was like, oh, people get lost in the tunnels. We don't want to go to the tunnels. So I'm like, okay, we won't go to the tunnels. But then we keep walking and walking and walking, and it's so hot. It's terrible, okay? Then we finally get there. But here's the thing. They left us like 10 minutes between the end of the mass to get to the NAC for the reception. Nobody was there in 10 minutes. It took everyone, because you had to take pictures in St. Peter's, and then you had to, like, congratulate everyone. And then there's interviews for, like, the cool people. And then there's all these things. Okay, there was no way that we were getting there in 10 minutes.
You do realize this isn't like, the lack of planning thing. It's kind of like a universal church problem, not a Rome problem.
No. This is a men problem, okay? Because if a woman was planning this, the reception would have been close to the Vatican. Yeah, we need you to go implement some changes here. Okay, when you become a deacon and invite me to your ordination, you best believe I'm either wearing sneakers in St. Peter's, or you guys are going to plan this better. Because it was brutal. It was brutal.
Okay, then probably wear sneakers in St. Peter's, number one.
Also, that would be a great number two, movie title.
Where are you going to find an event space to host a meal in the Vatican?
The Pope's eating lounge, duh.
Yeah, the Pope is just going to be like, ah, yeah, let these filthy Americans take over.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not thinking so. Well, this sounds like a great, very positive experience you've had, Emma.
Okay, well, I had a lot of experiences. I have a cool secret place for Chris to go, okay? They have roof. Apparently, they have the best view of Rome. If you go onto the roof of the
That's
NAC,
what they claim.
I personally was not able to go because we booked, basically, like, we were at the NAC for, like, 20 minutes because then we went and we did the Scavi tour. And so we had to get back down the giant hill. But
yeah, I was about to say the Scavi tour is back where the ordination was, but that's okay.
Can I tell you that the day was planned by men? Thank you. And so we went back down said hill and didn't want to walk back up, so we didn't go back up. But I heard great things. I saw pictures. It is an amazing view. Like, I'm really excited for you to go and then eventually sneak me up on the roof when I come and visit.
Emma, you're sounding rather anti-man on this podcast.
Did somebody hurt you within this past week or something?
No, like, nobody, what's going on here?
Emma's fine, guys. I just think that there are unique traits that the feminine genius holds, and then unique traits that true masculinity holds. And I don't understand why women were not invited to plan this event because it was so bad. But, like, there were no chairs anywhere at the NAC, like, for this reception. And there were, like, grandmas there. I was just like, it was well planned, like, in that it was very strategic. Like, it wasn't like there was one food line. There were four. So it was very efficient, right? Like, it made sense. But it wasn't comfortable. Like, I feel like it just needed one female on staff or a man who's in touch with his feminine genius. I don't know. But where you can't really be. Anyways, I digress. Men rock. We love you guys. We love the priests. We love the people who run the NAC. You guys are awesome. Thank you for inviting me. One of the best experiences of my life. But
when Emma says we love men, she's referring to herself, because I can't love men, otherwise that's an impediment. So
yes.
I'm probably not going to put that comment in there, but that's okay.
Just as a clarification.
Okay, well, Emma, is there anything that you like about the NAC?
I thought it had good AC. Actually, I can't remember if it had AC. They do have a beautiful courtyard, which was really nice. I'm pretty sure it's some type of fruit tree. They do have places for family to stay. So when I come and visit Chris, I have a free place to stay when I'm in Rome, which is awesome. It was really beautiful. Like, I'm really excited for you. It's probably, like, one of the best. But, yeah, pretty cool. It's all right. You know, I give it a solid 7 out of 10. The hill really took down some points. Unfortunately.
That's sad. Okay. Well, that's fun and exciting. Let's actually talk about what the neck is.
Oh yeah, we forgot maybe about we should that. Have
started there. But, classic, you know, Emma wanted to tell her story and get off of her chest how much she hated going up the hill. You know, that's not my fault. Her feet weren't prepared, whatever. Yeah, so the NAC is a major seminary, as they used to be called. It's a seminary. It's a house of formation, not an academic house, I think is a great way of kind of phrasing it. That's kind of lost here in America for the most part. Like, that's not like a thing that you have, is you live and are formed in one place, but you go to school in another place. And that's one thing that the NAC does. And the NAC has three different schools that it sends to for you to be educated at. So your house of formation at the NAC on top of the hill, then at the bottom of the hill across the river, are three different seminaries for the first cycle that you can go and learn at. And this first cycle is for a bachelor's in sacred theology degree, and you do it at one of three universities. And Emma, what are those three universities?
I'm gonna be honest, I only saw one of them, and it was the one that Stephen went to. And it was something okay. in Italian. I don't know. I do know that all your classes are in Italian. So, good luck, buddy.
See, that's only partially true. Then we'll get into that right now when we explain what the three options are. The first one is the hardest, and that is Santa Croce. Santa Croce is completely in Italian. It's run by Opus Dei. Yeah, it's relatively new, in like the 1940s or so. And so that's your first option for first cycle. Your second option for first cycle is the Gregorian. It's run by the Jesuits. And I don't know when it was founded, sorry. And it's where I originally was going to go until I was told, no, you have to go to one of the other two options. So it's your choice between those two and not the Greg. Wait, and the third why? Option is, well, that's another story. I mean, not on the podcast. Okay. The third option is the Angelicum, which is run by who, Emma?
Angels!
Now, who is the angelic doctor? How about that for a question?
Ooh. I know it's a female, right? No. It was a 50-50 on that one.
not really, because the doctors of the church are not 50-50. There's like four female doctors and the rest are male. So,
I'm going to be honest. I know the female one.
It wasn't
better.
Even 50-50. You really went against your odds on that one.
Can I get a hint?
Probably the most famous Catholic doctor of the church. I mean, all doctors of the church are Catholic, but like the most famous doctor of the church.
Augustine?
The other guy that starts with an A.
Aristotle.
Aristotle's not Catholic.
I know. That was the first A word that came to my brain. Wait, why can't I think? Andrew? No. Was he a martyr?
Maybe Aquinas.
Oh, Thomas. I was going to say Thomas Aquinas, and then you said A. I was in between Augustine.
A. Aquinas. A as in Aquinas. Thomas. Yeah, that's usually how that works. Okay. What order was Thomas?
Ooh, I actually have no idea.
That's disappointing.
Dominican.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Great job. So who runs the Angelicum?
I'm kidding. Dominicans.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. That was painful.
Wait, you're telling me I'm losing another friend to a bunch of Dominicans?
Well, I'm not going to the Dominicans.
Oh, you're going to the hard one.
No, Emma. You go to school at one of these places. You don't, like, join their order or whatever.
Well, I know, but you're going to go hang out with them.
Well, I haven't officially decided yet. Probably by the time this podcast is posted, I will have decided. But in any event, at the Ange, you can either learn in first cycle in Italian or English. It was established in, like, the 13th century. And the rector is an American, which is pretty cool.
I wonder which one he's leaning towards, I think, guys.
Yeah, it's a total shocker one way or the other. In any event, so that's kind of what we're dealing with. So those are the three different universities for first cycle. That's your first 3 years at one of those three for the bachelor's degree. And then for the next 2 years, you do a licentiate degree. And you do that at any of the universities in Rome, depending on what field you want to study in. And you and your bishop choose that field, and then you and your bishop choose which of the seminaries to go to. Each of the seminaries in Rome have four different disciplines. Three of them are the same at all of the seminaries. That's canon law, theology, and philosophy, I believe. And then the fourth discipline varies from university to university, and that's what makes each university unique and is kind of their specialization, what you would try to go to one or the other for the licentiate degree.
So do you do you, like, try to stay at the same one if possible?
No, because there's more than just those three.
Oh, okay.
So those three are where the NAC lets you go for undergrad or whatever, or not undergrad, but whatever, for your STB, yeah. For your bachelor's.
Wait, your what?
For your bachelor's. STB. We're in bachelor territory. Okay, then you get an STL, and then you get an STD later on. Okay, that's this story for another time. Is something funny there, Emma? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I thought. So that's that. Formation's the same as it is here in America, which I think is worth noting. So all the previous podcasts we've talked about, like, how formation works, how there's four different dimensions and four different stages and all that fun stuff, that's the same thing here as it is there.
That's
so
good.
There's still four dimensions. There's still four stages. It takes the same amount of time, except for you have an extra year of school in there. How that extra year of school works with the whole ordination schedule and being in Rome works with having to be a deacon for 6 months is something nobody has an answer to yet. But it's okay, because the PPF will probably change by the time I get there. So, you know.
I like how they did it without knowing how they're going to do it. They're like, okay, we're going to do this, but... we'll figure it out.
Well, in the PPF, they list out the, like, potential plans or whatever. They're like, we could do this, or you could do this, or you could do this. And basically all the seminaries are like, yeah, all of these don't really work well. Or at least the bishops are like, these don't really work well. Because it doesn't work with what we're used to in America, which I guess is really the problem. It's not really that they don't work. It's that they don't work with what we're used to. You know, and we're creatures of habit. In case you haven't noticed. So, you know.
Change is good.
Yeah. Sometimes. So, being in Italy, you have to get a visa to study there. Knowing Italian is good. They do Italian program at the beginning of each academic semester, which begins in October.
Oh, that's weird.
In the first semester ends in January, the second semester begins in February and ends in June.
Weird.
So that's another weird little thing, I guess.
Is that common in Italy? Just in general?
It's common throughout Europe.
Okay.
So also, like, Europe, their whole idea of credits is different. Like, they have anywhere from 1 to 6 credit classes. But it's almost a multiply times 2 sort of dealio. So like a 3-credit class here is like a 6-credit class there.
Oh. So you'll be in like 50 if that makes credits. Sense.
Yeah, it's some crazy note. I don't know what it is. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
when we have to.
And then also grading is different too. So Europeans grade on a 10-point scale. And you have to get a 7. So also all your grade is based off of a final oral examination that takes 10 minutes. So,
oh gosh.
No pressure for those 10 minutes.
That sounds, yeah. Do you have to do the oral exam in Italian?
I was told that professors at these universities supposedly have to know 5 languages, and most of them, one of those 5 is English, and so most of the time they offer the examining. I don't know, whatever. Again, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We'll let you know later on.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah. Isn't it?
So do you have a roommate when you're there?
No, so it's like seminary here where you have your own tiny little cell that you have your computer and your tiny bed and your tiny closet and your bookshelf that only holds so many of the books you own. And, you know, you just work with it.
And seminary
you
and
bear
problems.
The Roman heat. You bear the Roman heat with the no air conditioning that exists. And you go to your community bathroom, but it's okay because when you look out the window, you have the best view of St. Peter's, as Emma mentioned. So, you know.
You win some, you lose some.
You can drink wine where there's no preservatives or crap in it, so you have no side effects from that. You can eat all the food you want because you're walking up the hill each day, and also the food has no preservatives in that, so it actually is good for you. I mean, it's pretty nice. I mean, you get to eat and drink and have fun, but, you know.
And you have
July. Yeah, sure, there's some downside. You have to learn Italian or whatever. You know, and like I said, the room might be uncomfortable or whatever, but yeah, you have gelato, pizza, and pasta. I mean, how can you go wrong?
I mean, it's probably good that the room's not giant because you don't want to stay in the room while you're there, you know? You gotta go experience it.
Well, this is true. This is true. I mean, you might have a view of St. Peter's from your room, which, you know, that wouldn't suck.
Could you imagine waking up and you're seeing, like, your company's headquarters? Like, oh, there's HQ.
That's one way to put it. Like, that's one way to put it. I mean, you aren't guaranteed to have a look over St.
Yeah,
Peter's,
what's your room like open to, like, a brick wall?
The neck does have rooms that look over St. Peter's. So, let alone from the roof where, obviously, you can look over St. Peter's, too. But as Emma said, the neck is known for having, supposedly, the best views of the Vatican, of St. Peter's, mm-hmm. of Rome, from the neck. The best views of Rome are apparently from the neck. I mean, I don't know. Apparently, I won't even need my drone, but that's okay.
Are you going to bring it?
I'm already registered to fly in the EU.
Oh,
so,
my
gosh.
How did you do that?
Well, so last year I registered in the country of Luxembourg because you can do it online. Because I was going to World Youth Day, so I wanted to fly in Spain and Portugal. So I've flown in Spain and Portugal. I intend to fly in Italy and whatever country I visit while I'm there. And it's cool because my drone app, it adds little country flags whenever you fly in a new country. So now I'm up to 5 cool little country flags. So
why have I not seen any of the footage of these videos?
Did you like not watch my video from
Oh, I'm revealing myself.
Yeah, I mean, that's on you. Well, I can send it to you. You know what?
Send me the video. I'll watch it. Guys, this is the plug for Kristen's YouTube.
No, you won't. No,
yes,
you
I
won't,
will.
Emma.
I will watch it today.
Okay, well, you know.
I'll even comment on the video. I never comment on YouTube videos. I'll comment on your video. I'll like and subscribe. Actually, I am already.
Wow.
I'm already subscribed.
I feel like you're already subscribed. Because you've been featured on my YouTube channel before.
Yeah, for the tornado chasing.
Among other
and
things.
And your goodbye. Yeah. Your farewell tour.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't caught up since y'all's cruise. The cruise one was funny.
That's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad. I need to catch up. I gotta catch up, man.
In any event, back on topic here.
Oh yeah.
What else about the Knack?
About 5 more minutes left about the Knack. do you guys eat at the Knack or do you eat not at the Knack? Like, is there a cafeteria?
Yeah, so they have a cafeteria there. And my understanding is, so in Italy, the big meal of the day is lunch, pranzo. So I guess every day at like 1:15 or something like that, after you're done with classes, you come back to the Knack and you sit down and have multi-course meal with wine.
Can I come?
Every day. And yeah, so that's lunch. And then for dinner, they also have dinner, which is usually what I've heard. Usually dinner is just soup. And that's it. So apparently most of the seminarians go out for dinner, or at least occasionally go out for dinner. Because why wouldn't you, right, when you can go get a pizza or whatever, or pasta,
pizza.
And then everybody gets gelato throughout the day. Like, you know, what is this, you know?
And there's a good gelato place. I think, I don't know which one I saw, though. I think it was the Pontificio. What's the hard one? The hard school?
Santa Croce?
What, is that the one that's, like, run by the... What's the word that you just said? The Pontificio? Pontificus?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Okay, Emma. Chris, when you're editing this, remember what the word was and voice it over my words. But there was a good gelato place next to one of the places, so that should determine which one that you go to is the gelato surrounding the college.
I'm sure there was, but one of my priests here at the Josephinum apparently was known for his gelato abilities or something. In fact, he's known here still for his love of ice cream. And like goes to ice cream like every day, but that's okay. We won't tell you who it is on this podcast. We wouldn't want to cause scandal or anything. But he said that he limited himself to 2 gelatos a day.
Oh my gosh.
And he supposedly has a list of the best gelatarias in Rome.
We're going.
So I will be acquiring that list, and we will be going to them, and then subsequently telling him that all of his favorite gelatarias are not that great.
Oh, you can't do
just
that.
Mess with them. So, oh, the other seminarian and I, we have already said we're going to do that. So, yeah.
You guys are terrible.
It's fun to mess with priests. Your priests need a laugh too, okay?
Hey, I'm gonna remember that when you become a priest. I'm gonna have that on recording. Send it out to your parish. Everyone's gotta mess with priests too. Keep them humble, guys.
Yep, and this is why you won't be my secretary, because then you would have access to the flock note or whatever, and you'd send that out, and I'd be like, nope. So, you're so fired.
Guys, I was temporarily hired there for a second. Okay, well, let's wrap it up, Chris. And that is all for Returning to Tradition. Over and out. Beep.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Returning to Tradition. I'm your host, Chris.
I'll take over, don't worry. Your host, Chris Dixon, and your co-host, Emma Singletary. Today, we're going to be talking about Chris's new digs.
That was pretty great. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Returning to Tradition. I'm your host, Chris Dixon, joined with...
Blah, 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 blah.
Come on, that was actually a good intro.
One more.
You just want more air time. You just want more air time in the bloopers. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, pretty much. I come to perform. Okay.